Hello and welcome everybody to XM Cinema. I'm your host Xavier Mustafa, and today we are discussing X-Men 97 Season 1 Episode 4 entitled Montendo / Life Death Part 1. Before we get to this episode, I'm going to let my co-host go ahead and introduce himself.
Hello there. It is the Sensational Levinomans here. And how are you doing, my good brother?
Doing great, sir. Another episode of X-Men 97. I guess I would ask you first, what is your overall thoughts?
It was a good to meh. It was a filler episode, but it was a decent, you know, filler episode. Not bad, but, you know, definitely the weakest out of the three so far, but it was a filler.
I'm going to go with 1.5 out of 5.
Oh my god. I would go 3. Oh my goodness. 1.5. You thought it was all the way trash.
Maybe a 2. Maybe I'll give it a 2.
So you thought it was all the way, or not all the way trash, but just trash.
I thought it was meh. I had some issues with this episode.
All right, we're going to talk about it.
Alrighty, the episode starts with breakfast. Here we have Magneto one-upping Gambit by knowing how Rogue likes her coffee, which I thought was a really, really D-bag move.
Hey, he knows how to get her sugar, you know what I'm saying?
And Gambit was like, "You taking orders, sir?" And he was like, "Absolutely not. Not for you. Sorry." This is before he exerts his authority with the order of the day. The team is about to do drills in the danger room. However, it's Jubilee's 18th birthday. And the young mutant wants nothing more than to go to the arcade. That idea is quickly shot down by Magneto. This scene quickly sets up the conflict of this episode, which boils down to the fact that Jubilee wants to go have fun on her birthday and doesn't care about growing up. It's a fairy tale theme, the one that results in one of X-Men 97's more basic storylines compared to the previous episodes that were written by Charles Feldman and the fired showrunner, Bol DeMeo. Jubilee and Roberto are unwillingly sucked into a video game world created by Mojo, a classic X-Men villain whose shtick is putting people in dangerous situations for the amusement of the audience that is forced to watch. Mojo looks terrifying, and the voice work by David Arrigo leads the character on a humorous but dangerous edge. Jubilee quickly takes to the idea of fighting Sentinels and other enemies in this video game world, practically begging to stay so that she can have a little bit more fun. It doesn't dawn on her early on that there's a real danger in this video game world, and it again highlights how she is more focused on having a good time than taking anything seriously. On the flip side, however, Roberto refuses to use his powers, and he still feels shame about being a mutant and worries about his family seeing him show his abilities. Thoughts so far?
First of all, the whole why in the world was she like, she remembers the whole Mojo thing. Why'd she even start playing this game? I don't know, but yeah, heck, it was an adventure. Everything all right there?
No, I just thought of something. I forgot in my car. Throughout their video game journey, the episode occasionally cuts to scenes rendered in classic 16-bit graphics. There was a lot of excitement for the stylistic shift, and yet only appears very briefly a few times. However, there's also a very brief appearance of the original Konami X-Men arcade cabinet. The pair also encounters a mysterious figure in a suit of armor who helps them out of a few situations, including a brief trip to the early days of Genosha when mutants were enslaved by Bolivar Trask. Eventually, Jubilee and Roberto wind up in a level modeled on Magneto's old base. Here, Roberto reveals that during the days of Magneto's villainy, he expressed hatred for mutants to his family so that they would not know he is one of them. An older version of Magneto attacks Jubilee and Roberto, nearly killing the latter before Jubilee fights back. Jubilee and Roberto are risked to safety by an armored figure who turns out to be an older version of Jubilee. There's no time travel or clone-based explanation here. Rather, this version of Jubilee is a digital duplication created by Mojo to test out this video game world. She is the only one of many of other duplicates to survive. After imparting some wisdom about growing up and taking responsibility, the older Jubilee helps the young mutants to fight Mojo himself. Here, Roberto finally uses his powers to help win the battle before he and Jubilee are spit back out into the real world. There, they embrace with a nice kiss, and fireworks fly everywhere.
And we know what happens when the camera turned off. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday, Jubilee.
That's where Mojo is put out of commission, but his assistant Spyro appears to take over. Dun, dun, dun.
Arms.
Okay, so I know Jubilee gets a lot of crap for being one of the most pointless X-Men. I get why this exists, but it didn't need to exist.
It was a bro. Do you know what filler episodes are?
I understand what a filler episode is, sir.
Okay, it. So
how about giving me a filler about Morph? Okay, what happened to Morph when he was under Sinister's control? Maybe give us some more about that. Maybe we learn why Morph is the way he is now. Maybe we talk about his man crush that he has on Wolverine. No? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that a thing now? Why is that a thing? They were just friends. And now he's in love with Wolverine.
I mean, everybody's in love with Wolverine except Jean Grey.
Oh, damn. Oh, my
God. That's how life works. People you love don't love you. But the people you don't love, they love you. So.
That's fucked up. Oh.
Is it? It's truth, though. It's true. Yeah. While Jubilee takes up a vast majority of this episode, the latter part is dedicated to checking in with Storm and Forge. The pair have hidden away at Forge's cabin, where he explains his powers to Storm. As Forge's mutant ability allows him to invent almost any form of machinery without any prior knowledge, Forge believes that he has created something that can give Storm her powers back. This sequence is loaded with some beautiful animation, particularly when the two mutants are riding horseback together through the wilderness. This show continues to prove that it's aimed mostly at an audience that has grown up since the original series aired, and the impressive artwork is paired with the more advanced storytelling the show has been delivering. Storm is distraught after Forge's machine fails to bring her powers back. She becomes even more upset when Forge reveals to her that he is, in part, responsible for the power dampening collars that have been used in earlier episodes to keep the mutants at bay. It was this technology that was used to erase Storm's powers back in X-Men 97 Episode 2, so her reaction here makes perfect sense. In a dark twist that closes out the episode, Storm and Forge are attacked by the adversary, a demonic bird-like figure that imparts nightmarish visions on Storm and appears to incapacitate Forge. The episode leaves off with a cliffhanger, which is to be expected when the title ends with part one. Also, forgot to mention that Forge confesses his love for Storm. So I'm going to say that the problem I have with this is the problem I had with Invincible and the Angstrom care character is that we don't get enough time with these characters to buy that he's in love with her. Sorry, not sorry. I didn't buy it. It was too quick.
I mean, they did kind of, I mean, not have a relationship, but they knew of each other in the old show. It's not like they're first meeting each other.
Now, listen, also, too, you know, I'm a single man, so maybe, I don't know. But in my mind, okay, if I love this person, I'm probably going to tell them that before I reveal that I was a part of something that made her lose her powers, which is a big deal to her. I would not start with the latter. Or before. Yeah. I would not have started with the, hey, I'm responsible kind of for this technology getting out there. But I love you though. And she's like, absolutely not. She's like, I'm still upset about what you told me. Her voice is amazing too, by the way. She was dropping some banger lines. But yeah, so yeah. But that was the best part of the episode, to be honest. You know, not to crap on the Jubilee stuff, but I could do without the Jubilee stuff. I could have got more of this. Maybe they should have started with this, gave us a whole episode of this. Then maybe the next episode, you know, they ended on the cliffhanger. The next episode, they start out with the Jubilee. So we're like, oh, can we get to this Jubilee stuff? And then do the end of the story.
Yeah, I felt like they wanted to space out the whole Jean and Cyclops and the whole love triangle. So they wanted to put a little filler in between and next episode, we pick right back off into the drama.
Yep. All right. Anything you want to say about this episode, sir?
No. It was decent.
All right. Short one today, only 13 minutes. You can catch all of our social medias in the show notes. And until next time. Make sure you guys take care of yourselves and each other. And may the Force be with you.
Because this is the way.